Hi, I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and this is Toxic Free Talk Radio, where we talk about how to thrive in a toxic world and live toxic free. It is Wednesday, October 7th, 2015, and I'm here in Clearwater, Florida. Beautiful autumn day. The temperature is 80 right now, but in the morning and at night, it's 70 instead of like in the summertime, really. It's 85 and 90 all day long and all night long. So this is just like a breath of fresh air. Literally, I can open the windows now. Yay. Anyway, I just wanted to say that while I was listening to the music, the opening music, I was sitting here exercising my arms, and that's not something I usually do, but I've been doing more exercise, and it was just, I was listening to the music and I was just moving my arms up and down and out to the sides and just kind of moving around. And it's actually important. This is a toxics issue. I want to say this before we bring on my guest today, but you know, in order for your body to process the toxic chemicals that you're exposed to, it needs to go through your body's detox system and your lymph system. You may have heard the term lymph nodes, but your lymph is this whole system that carries things around your body. It's the waste products carries. It's like the garbage system takes out the garbage. And that's how it gets how the toxic chemicals move into your detox system. But your lymph system does not have a pump like your heart. Your heart has a pump that pumps the blood throughout your body, but the lymph system does not. And the only way that you can get your lymph to move is by moving your body. And so the more you can move, even if you're just sitting here listening to the opening music of the show, move around. Move your arms, move your legs, jump around, whatever. And that's a good way to just get in a minute of exercise there that will help your body get those toxic chemicals to and through the detox system and out of your body. And that's my tip for today. So today we're going to talk about 7 deadly drugs, and I don't even know what they are. It's every other Wednesday today. So my guest is Pamela Seafeld. She's a registered pharmacist who prefers to dispense medicinal plants and other natural substances instead of prescription drugs. And so she's going to tell us about those 7 deadly drugs, what they are, and what we can take instead to do what those drugs do. Hi, Pamela.
Hi, it's great to be here.
Thank you. It's great to have you. So where are we starting today with 7 deadly drugs?
Okay, so I looked at common drugs that people are using, and I've decided that I'm going to start with Tylenol. And
Tylenol, yes.
I
would never have thought that was a deadly drug, but so that's good.
Oh, yes.
We're talking about this.
Yeah, this is why the drugs I picked are going to be of interest to everybody, because these are commonly used things that we see, and they're very ubiquitous. They're everywhere, right?
Okay, good.
Acetaminophen, the reason why it's bad is it causes liver necrosis, okay? And it can be even small amounts. Like in the hospital, we check to see there's a lot of pain relievers that people use that have narcotics along with acetaminophen, because the narcotic will work as a centrally acting pain reliever. So that's like dulls the perception of your pain. So like say you've had an accident or you've had surgery. So and the acetaminophen blocks the peripheral or the outside of the central nervous system, like, you know, just all the nerve endings, like your hands and your feet and your body. So when you give the combination of the two, you get a dual type of pain relief. And so those drugs are commonly used. You think of like Percocet and Vicodin and things like that. So the Tylenol component, if you start reaching over 4 grams a day of that, it definitely leads to liver necrosis. But there's a lot of people that even will pop a Tylenol here or there, acetaminophen, I should say, here or there, like if they have a headache. And then if they're drinking at the same time, say they have had a few cocktails with dinner, these things can be cumulative. And there's a lot of with what I found when I did the research on it, I knew this because, you know, a lot of people take acetaminophen for pain. But acetaminophen poisoning accounts for approximately 1/2 of all cases of acute liver failure in the United States and Great Britain today.
Oh, wow.
So that's all the liver failure. If you look at acute liver failure and people that are in liver failure, it's 1/2 of the cases. It's not the drinkers. It's the people that are taking acetaminophen, and sometimes they don't realize that their reaching toxic levels. They might have a pain problem. Maybe they've been have a back injury, something like to that effect. And they've been taking this, and it doesn't take very long for it to have cumulative effects. And I actually know a friend of mine. His son was only 38, and he died from acetaminophen poisoning. And it wasn't an overdose. He actually ended up in liver failure, and then they didn't find a transplant for him. But it was from acetaminophen because he was popping a few Tylenol. It was only like one or two pills a week that he was popping when he had a headache. And then they found that he was in liver failure, and then he's passed away now. So this is I call this deadly, and the reason why is because, yeah, you have the Tylenol overdoses, and you have these situations where people are taking excessive amounts, but you need to realize that the cumulative effect of acetaminophen in the liver is pretty severe.
So when you take, you mentioned one or two, but then you also said, what was it, 4 grams?
So, correct. 4 grams, if someone's in the hospital, we look to calculate, you know, cause sometimes the doctors won't maybe pick up on that. So maybe someone's post-operative, they've had some surgery, and they don't want IV narcotics because maybe there's been a history of abuse, or maybe the person doesn't want shots, maybe they're going to be leaving that day, you know, they're ambulatory. So they'll give them, you know, maybe Vicodin or Percocet or one of these combinations that has either hydrocodone or oxycodone with acetaminophen. And if the person exceeds, we have to make sure that they go under 4 grams a day, because if they go over 4 grams a day, you're definitely looking at a liver problem. And actually, from the studies and what you see, 4 grams a day is very lenient. I mean, really, the people really shouldn't be even getting more than three, because the toxicity is pretty bad.
How many pills? If you were just taking acetaminophen, not mixed with anything else, like for a headache.
Well, it depends on
how many pills is that?
Well, that's a good point. 325 would be a regular acetaminophen, and 500 is an extra strength. So there are some combination products that have the 500 and some that have the 325. Actually, at the hospital where I work, we have removed all the products with the 500 because it was just too many chances that the person was going to end up in an acetaminophen overdose situation. So in those cases, those products are gone. We don't even have them anymore because we just didn't want to rely on, you know, what happens is if somebody puts an order in the computer and it has too much Tylenol, we can't automatically change it. We got to call, and it's a lot of phone calls, and sometimes people don't call back, and so you know what I'm saying. So this is what happens.
Right.
We just took them off. They're not even there anymore. That's it. Because
how many pills? Like, what did you say? 325. That's 325 milligrams.
Right. Exactly. So if you're looking at 325, that would be 12 pills in a day. But you'd be surprised, because a lot of times people have their orders say 1 to 2 tablets every 4 hours is needed for pain. Well, then it's pretty easy to get up to that.
It is pretty easy to get up to that. But even if you didn't have, as you said, you don't need to be taking that much before you have liver failure. And so
correct.
If you were taking two tablets 4 times a day is how many? That's 12, isn't
it? Exactly. And even in an acute situation, like say you have a back injury and, you know, you were fine before, you hurt your back, you lifted something, or in a car accident, this happens quite frequently, and then they've given you this combination product and you're taking it, you know, every single day for like a week or so, well, you've already gotten to that point where you get some cumulative toxicity. You have to always look too that, you know, because the liver processes all the drugs, but it also processes alcohol. So say a person gets a headache and they've been out they had a few cocktails with dinner, and then they take Tylenol, acetaminophen, and then they go to bed. All right, those two are cumulatively toxins to the liver. Then say they took a Pepcid or a Zantac because they had an upset stomach. Those work on the liver, and those can cause hepatotoxicity too. So what I always tell people, and then say they're on a cholesterol-lowering medicine like simvastatin. Well, I see this a lot with people. Like they tell me they drink wine at night. That's fine. Then I see that they're on a cholesterol-lowering medicine. Then they take a medication for pain, and I'm telling them, you're going to end up in liver failure. You have to do something and cut some of these things out or take some herbs to protect the liver, and that's kind of milk thistle and Schizandra chinensis come in, because those two can protect the hepatocyte from, you know, toxic injury from these substances. And so somebody that takes acetaminophen on a regular basis or, you know, drinks wine and beer on a regular basis, especially if they're on any cholesterol-lowering medicines, they need to be on something to protect themselves.
Yeah, that's good. So we need to go to break in just a few seconds. But I can tell there's so much information here. We're going to have to get through each drug a little faster.
Okay, that's fine. That's fine. Absolutely.
Because we've only gotten through one in the first 15 minutes.
Well, this is a pretty dangerous one, so I wanted to spend a lot of time on it.
Yeah, okay. All right, so in the next segment, we'll do two, and then we'll do two, and then we'll do two, and then we'll get through seven. How's that?
Perfect.
Okay, good. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lindad, and my guest today is Pamela Seafeld. She's a registered pharmacist who prefers to dispense medicinal plants and other natural substances instead of prescription drugs. And she has her own lovely shop called Botanical Resource here in Clearwater, Florida. And you can go to her website at botanicalresource.com. We'll be right back. And my guest today is Pamela Seafeld. She's a registered pharmacist, and you can go to her website at botanicalresource.com. Okay, Pamela, what's deadly drug number two?
Okay, deadly drug number two is ibuprofen, naproxen, and all these drugs are called collectively NSAIDs, or non-steroidal anti-inflammatory agents. And what NSAIDs do, and that's just some of the examples, but those are commonly used as pain relievers, and what's bad about these is they are risk for acute kidney injury, and it's pretty severely. And you see this a lot with athletes, where they'll be using ibuprofen and naproxen quite a bit, and then all of a sudden, you know, they'll end up with kidney failure, and they don't realize why. So, and this takes very small amounts as well to be damaging it, and it looks like it's not necessarily just one NSAID. This whole drug class is associated with acute kidney injury and kidney failure in some instances. So this is really important to realize that, you know, if you're taking these things in a regular basis, and it also includes like Celebrex, meloxicam is really popular, Diclofenac, Voltaren. These are drugs that are prescribed quite a bit for injury, but also just for arthritis. So you want to definitely not be using these on a continual basis because of the kidney issues that causes kidney injury. And let me explain to your listeners, too. If anybody's had any acute kidney injury from any of these products, using the Detox One is highly effective and reversing this particular types of injury.
And that Detox One is a homeopathic remedy that people can get from you.
Well, the Detox One
right?
is what I would recommend, and it's from DesBio, and that really would work to especially clean up the kidneys and make, repair the nephrons. I would say if someone's serum creatinine has been elevated at all from ibuprofen or naproxen, that they need to do something to repair. Because let me tell you about kidney and liver failure, that we don't have anything in regular science, in regular pharmacy for that.
Right, but what I'm saying is that people can call you and get the detox.
Oh yes, I apologize.
That's what I meant.
Yeah, no, I'm sorry. I apologize.
As long as we're talking about that, why don't you give your phone number?
Please. The number here to my pharmacy is Botanical Resource. It's 727-442-4955. That's 727-442-4955, and I would be very honored to help you or your family if any of these situations have happened. Also, like I explained about the hepatic and the liver failure as well, I would be glad to help with that as well.
Yes, and she does a free consultation, so please feel free to call her, and she's happy to talk to you about whatever is going on with drugs or your body, whatever your symptoms are. She can help you with some natural and homeopathic remedies. And so it really is okay to call Pamela, and she will talk to you very happily for free. So give her a call. And the number again is?
Yes, 727-442-4955, and I would be greatly honored to help you or your family. And also, if you're on these medicines and you want to get off of them, especially the acetaminophen and narcotic combinations, I can help you transition off of those as well. And I know those are very hard because, especially we were talking about the narcotic combinations, you know, the addiction potential really starts kicking in that's less than 8 to 10 days. It doesn't take very long. So people don't realize that they become dependent in such a short period of time, and that's just it's just very, very horrible.
And you know, we watch commercials for these drugs on TV all day long. You know, and so you think we get in this mindset that they must be safe. They're on TV, and they're deadly. So what's number three?
Number three is Paxil. And the reason why I picked Paxil is an antidepressant, but it has a lot of dangers associated with it, and I'm going to explain. Paxil is, it induces its own metabolism, okay? So what this means when something's inducing its own metabolism, its auto metabolism, we know that a person can become with a toxic level in a very short period of time. So, and the new data was just released, study in British Journal of Medicine this month, that the original studies with Paxil in adolescents were skewed, and the data was collected inappropriately and incorrectly, and maybe was falsely misleading, because Paxil is associated with suicide, increased suicide risk in adolescents especially, because of the fact that it inhibits its own metabolism. And so people a lot of time were becoming psychotic and suicidal on Paxil, and this still can happen. And the reason why is because the drug level would be like 200 times what they're expecting to be in the brain, and so the person becomes psychotic. So maybe that even should be number one. If anybody's on Paxil, or especially if they even have contemplated giving it to adolescents, the new studies show that all of the benefits that were previously shown have been retracted. And this was just Wall Street Journal like 2 days ago. They had a big article about it. It's very, 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 very deadly. So if you're taking Paxil, or especially if you have any young people taking Paxil, the chance of the person becoming suicidal and psychotic is pretty high. And especially because what's happening, if it inhibits its own metabolism, what's happening is each drug dose is making more of the drug dose in the brain, and it's a very dangerous combination. So I would tell people that that's, if all the SSRIs, that's probably the worst, especially for young people. And I want to just briefly talk about SSRIs just for a brief second.
And what does SSRI stand for?
Yes, it's serotonin reuptake inhibitors. They're very common drugs. So like Paxil's one of them. There's Prozac and Zoloft and so forth. They're very, very common drugs. And, you know, in the last 20 years when they really started to become popular, we saw that, you know, in the past, we would always, and I'm just going to divert for a second about gun violence and all these things that are happening, you know, in society and mass shootings and terrible things like that. But what happens when people take serotonin reuptake inhibitors, they lose their inhibition in their consciousness and their impulse control. And this is the problem, because if you look at what's correlated in society over the last 20 years, where we're starting to see all this, these mass shootings, all these terrible things, and just these random acts of violence that they can't explain why people are doing this, when you start using these drugs and have millions and millions and millions of people taking this, their perception of impulse when it comes to violence many times is altered. And this can explain why all of a sudden this is happening. It's not necessarily, you know, are we controlling guns or aren't we controlling guns? It's about the fact that you have mass amounts of the population, maybe up to 20% or more, on these medicines, and their impulse control for some of these deadly things is gone.
Wow.
Yeah, but that's what's really happening. And it correlates with this time period, right? Before these drugs were here, this wasn't a problem. And now it is, and you have to realize that. And you have to realize too, this stuff. Even if you're not taking this, these serotonin reuptake inhibitors, remnants of this are in the water.
Yeah,
we have it in the water supply. So it's, you know, that, you know, maybe this is kind of a sidelight, but I think people really need to ponder this and think, because this is a direct correlation. This isn't like some crazy science.
No, I understand what you're saying, and yes, it all exposure to these things affects the world in so many ways. And that definitely is a deadly association. Wow. We need to go to break. When we come back, we'll continue with our list of seven deadly drugs with my guest, Pamela Seafeld, registered pharmacist. And her natural pharmacy is at botanicalresource.com. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd. This is Toxic Free Talk Radio, and we'll be right back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Pamela Seafeld. She's a registered pharmacist who prefers to dispense medicinal plants and other natural substances instead of prescription drugs. So, Pamela, let's go on with now deadly drug number four.
Yes, so deadly drug number four is metformin. And I'll explain what metformin is. Metformin is it's an old drug. It's been around a long time, but it's a first-line therapy for people that have diabetes, type 2 diabetes particularly, and it's used a lot. And metformin can cause a condition called lactic acidosis. Okay, let me explain what this is. So it changes the way lactic acid is produced in the body and handled, okay? And it can happen in a very short period of time. And what I want to point out is that a lot of people that are diabetics, they are on this medication, maybe 500 milligrams twice a day, and what happens with sugar's been elevated over a period of time, your kidney function gets affected by the sugar damaging the glomerulus or the cells in the kidney, okay? So a lot of times people that have, you know, type 2 diabetes and even a new onset or have had it for a while and are on metformin, their serum creatinine, which is a number that is indicative of the kidney function, starts increasing. And I see this a lot of time when people come into the hospital. That's when we catch it. The doctors are really bad about adjusting for kidney problems, the medications. And actually, if a man, if his serum creatinine is greater than 1.5 or a female serum creatinine is greater than 1.4, it's contraindicated. They can't take it at all. And I can't tell you how many times I'm working as a pharmacist and I see people on this medicine and they do not meet the criteria. In fact, it's very dangerous that their creatinine is elevated to those numbers and the doctor still has them on the metformin. This is something for all of your listeners. If anybody is on this drug and they have any questions about how to interpret their numbers, I will be most glad to help you figure out if this drug is damaging your kidneys.
Yeah, that's a big concern because, I mean, this is another one where people are just given this and no information about how it might damage your kidneys. It's just, my doctor gave me metformin, oh, it's okay.
Well, yeah, this is what I'm saying, and this is the problem because what happens when you go to a regular, like, say you go to a regular retail pharmacy, okay, they don't have your blood work. They don't have your numbers. So if the doctor doesn't catch it, and when you get it filled at the CVS or the Walgreens or whatever, they don't see these numbers. So basically, there's a lot of blind dispensing going on. That's the way I look at it. They don't have any of the information. They're just sending it out. And you would be very surprised what I see as a practitioner, that even people coming in here that are on metformin and have type 2 diabetes, that their kidney function is not compatible with this medication and is contraindicated and they should have never been given it in the first place. And you have to think, I mean, I don't know the exact number of people, how many Americans are on metformin, but it's millions, I'm sure. I mean, it's a lot of people.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Okay. So number five.
Number five is iron. Iron, ferrous sulfate, ferrous gluconate, any of this kind of stuff. And I'm explaining about iron. Iron, the reason why it's dangerous, and I thought this is kind of interesting because I was even bringing this up to some of my customers the other day. People don't realize how dangerous iron is, but it's one of the highest toxic things that you can have in your medicine cabinet, and especially for children and adolescents, but young kids especially. That's why when you see any kind of any products that contain over 30 milligrams or more of iron per dosage, they have to be packaged in a blister pack, a unit dose pack. They can't be in a full bottle because the most dangerous overdose for infants and children is iron. It only takes probably about 4 pills of 30 milligrams to kill a small child. So if you have iron salt, any iron salts hanging around your house, if your dog eats it, if your children get into it, if the grandchildren get into it, it's very, very deadly. It's neurotoxic and causes seizures and death. And this is one of these things that you might have in your medicine cabinet and not even think twice about it.
Well, it's a vitamin. It's a vitamin.
That's exactly right. That is exactly right. And, you know, a lot of these iron pills that people say someone has some low-grade or ongoing anemia, you know, a lot of the ones that the doctors are going to give you are 150 milligrams. So it may only take one. So it's that deadly. And especially, I have to bring up pets too, because, you know, if someone drops an iron pill on the floor and the dog eats it, it's probably going to die. So you have to realize that this is something important. So if you actually have like a high iron formula, or if you're taking a lot of iron, this is something that little kids, pets, that you have no business. This should be locked up and far away from any of these kids or the animals to get a hold of it. Because you know how dogs are. You drop something on the floor, they eat it right away. If you're right, counting out your vitamins, you have iron, you have dogs or cats, you need to be very, very cognizant of this. And that's something that people, I'm sure there's a lot of people listening today that have never heard this before, but that's very, very important. Because that's why I call it deadly, because just such a small dosage of a seemingly innocuous product can lead to lethal consequences.
Well, what can people take instead of an iron pill? How can people, if they have iron poor blood, remember? Do you remember those commercials on TV?
Yeah,
talking about iron poor blood.
Actually, you know what I use? I don't use as many iron tablets anymore because iron causes severe constipation for a lot of people. It causes like these tarry stools and cramping, and it's not tolerated very well. Okay, I actually use a homeopathic iron, and I have reversed a lot of anemia with that, and it works great. And it's liquid. You put it in your detox bottle. You just sip it through the day, and it works on the regular hemoglobin and hematocrit, so those numbers look better. But it works on your deep iron iron stores your ferritin levels as well. And the regular iron, a lot of times, won't reach those deep muscle stores. So the iron mix, I use that all the time. I sell quite a bit of that, and it's inexpensive. It works really well, and it's a liquid, and it doesn't constipate, and you just put it in the water, and, you know, 1 or 2 months on it, you go get your blood work rechecked, and it comes back at a nice level. And that's really, really a great product. And that's, I would say, it's much better tolerated and much safer than having iron pills around the house. I would not, if you have kids visiting or living there, you really don't want to have those. It's just not worth taking a chance, especially if a babysitter or somebody else is watching your kids. They might not realize that the deadly consequences of just a few pills that the kids get into.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's one of the things that is impressing me today about what you're talking about. The way I got the idea for this show was because, you know, you get email advertisements all the time for all these things. And one of the, yep. An email came in and it said something about the 7 deadly drugs. And I don't even remember what they were selling, but I looked and to see what they thought the 7 deadly drugs were. And they were drugs that I recognized. But what you're telling us today is, from your viewpoint, is these are drugs that everybody thinks are safe.
Yes.
And that's what it makes them even more deadly, is the fact that people could overdose on them or not know, you know, as you said, drop a iron pill on the floor and the dog or a baby just reaches over and picks it up and that's it. And so we're just not aware of these things, that these are a lot of the things that are toxic that we talk about on this show are cumulative. And so that you're exposed to them over and over and over, and then you get sick. But there's also what are called acute poisons, and these definitely fall into that category. And it's not necessarily that you take one and you're going to die, but it's easy to take enough that you could end up having these problems over time. And they're so common. They're so common, and people think they're safe. That's the thing that's so amazing to me. So when we come back, we're going to hear the last two of the 7 deadly drugs. My guest today is Pamela Seafelt, and her website is botanicalresource.com. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd. This is Toxic Free Talk Radio, and we'll be right back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Pamela Seafelt, registered pharmacist who prefers to dispense medicinal plants and other natural substances instead of prescription drugs. And her website is botanicalresource.com. And Pamela, before we go on, since this is the last segment, why don't you give your phone number again in case anybody who's listening wants to call you for a free consultation?
Yeah, and, absolutely.
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead. It's a botanical resource, and you can reach me here at 727-442-4955. That's 727-442-4955, and I'd be glad to answer any questions you might have about your supplements, your prescriptions, if you're interested in getting off of some of your prescriptions, if there's some side effects you're suspecting that you're having from your prescriptions, and also some, you know, homeopathic supplements in place of what you're taking. I would be glad to suggest these for you and follow up. All follow-ups are free as well, and we keep your charts here and very professional, so I would be very glad to help you or your family.
Yes, she is very professional, and I take remedies that she's suggested to me, and she's very well-respected here in Clearwater, Florida, by patients and doctors. My medical doctor said, if Pamela tells you to take it, take it. So she's very well respected. She gives lectures to doctors and things like that. Anyway, so we have two more deadly drugs. Number
yes.
six?
Number six is Lamisil, okay? And this is a prescription. It's called terbinafine. And it's one of these things that if you have toenail fungus, you know, the fungus beneath your toes, that you go to the doctor, mm-hmm. they give you Lamisil and they give you the treatment. You have to take a, you know, one pill a day. It's usually several weeks. This can cause severe liver failure, and it's highly hepatotoxic. So if you're going to the doctor and you're asking for this particular prescription because you want to take the oral drug to eliminate the fungus that grows underneath the toes, that underneath the nail, I should say, this drug is very, very dangerous, and I would tell people to really avoid it. You should be using topical things, and actually what works really well for that particular stuff is standardized oil of oregano. Is an antifungal in itself, and the whole idea behind taking something topical, I mean orally, is because it needs to come up to the nail bed, right? So like they have a lot of these tea tree things and stuff you paint on, that doesn't really work because it's under the nail, it needs to come from the bloodstream and bring the medicine up. So oil of oregano capsules work very good for that, and I also use medical grade andrographis. to treat that instead. So say a lot of, you know, the fungus under the nail is a common problem, but taking the prescription, the oral medications, is highly suspect in causing liver failure. So that's one of those things that you just probably won't, you know, you'll go to the doctor, he'll give you the pill, and then he won't really warn you about the liver failure. And the thing with liver problems is that once they show up, they don't have anything to fix it. So it's one of these, you know, all or nothing sort of problems,
right.
and that's really dangerous. But this is a common problem because, I mean, what percentage of the population has, you know, the fungus under their nails, and they want to get their nail beds looking better. Maybe they want to have a French manicure and they don't want to have the discoloration, so they go to the doctor and they get the prescription. You need to be wary of using that.
You know, I've been listening to everything that you've been saying today, obviously, but what I'm thinking is that most of the things that you've talked about, if not all, damage the liver and or the kidneys. And the liver and the kidneys are the primary detox organs in our bodies. And so even here's the question. Even if people are not having a deadly effect from these drugs, wouldn't the liver and kidneys be weakened and it would be more difficult for them to detox other toxic substances that we might be being exposed to?
Oh, by far. And the big thing is it's cumulative. So, you know, maybe you have a glass of wine and you've had a Tylenol because you had a really bad headache and you had a really hard day at work. And then you've been treating, you know, your toenail fungus with this Lamisil. And then, you know, maybe at the same time you took some ibuprofen the day before. Maybe you're on metformin. I mean, a lot of people, it's simple.
But then
all these things together are a big problem.
Well, not only the drugs altogether, but you take these and then you go pump gas in your car or use nail polish or hairspray or lie in bed and get a formaldehyde exposure from your permanent press bed sheets. That all these drugs are contributing to the overall toxic load of your body.
That's exactly right. And that's why I'm a big advocate. If I tell people to do anything, you really need to be like doing the body anew to clean the chemicals out every day. I do that every single day. Just take this stuff out.
Me too.
The incidental exposure. And you really need to be on medical grade fish oil, maybe a mood elevating one, and you need to be on folic acid to protect. Those two things protect the heart and the brain. I mean, a lot of people will be taking, you know, piles and piles of supplements, but if you're not taking some of those basic things, you're really missing the boat because you're going to end up either with heart disease or cancer. That's what most people are at risk for, really. And
really?
And the carcinogenic exposure, but also the fact that, you know, if your liver gets damaged, you're really not metabolizing and conjugating
right.
all these chemicals. So if your liver has problems, you know, that whatever exposure you have to fat-soluble chemicals and pesticides, it's going to be double-fold because your body's not going to process it. That's
exactly
the problem.
Right.
And it's going to store
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
And cause cancer and other things. So it's one of these things that you want to stay on top of. Especially the people that are listening to this are probably health oriented to begin with. They're interested in trying to improve their health. You need to look at this from a logical standpoint.
Yeah. Okay, good. So number seven
is proton pump inhibitors. So I would say like Protonix, Prilosec, Nexium, Dilatent. But these are the drugs that you see a lot. A lot of people are on Omeprazole, Prilosec, or Pentoprazole, which is Protonix, and they're on these drugs. They block stomach acid. They block all the stomach acid. Okay. In the past, we used to use like Tagmet and Pepcid and Zantac and these drugs, and those were called H2 blockers, and they blocked some of the acid, but some of the acid was still there. Now we use something that blocks all the acid, and the problem with that is that you're not absorbing calcium, you're not absorbing iron, and you're not absorbing magnesium. Acid needs to be present. So if you want to give somebody brittle bones and anemia, this is a good way to do it.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, and a lot of people will go into the hospital for a routine situation, okay? And they put everybody on this automatically just to protect against a stress ulcer because, you know, it's stressful, you're in the hospital. And then they get discharged on it, and then they're on it forever. And a lot of people, unless you have Barrett's esophagus or something really dangerous, and there are homeopathic things that work better than this that we use, but a lot of people are on these things to control stomach acid, and they don't realize that they're going to end up with brittle bones. And I can't tell you how many times I see elderly ladies that are customers of mine that they're on one of these medicines, and at the same time, they're taking calcium. Well, they're not absorbing it, and they're on a medication because of brittle bones, a prescription medication like a bisphosphonate. And I'm thinking, well, the reason you have brittle bones is because you're on this drug. And you need to tell the doctor, if he's prescribing this, that the anemia you have and the brittle bones and the osteoporosis, osteopenia, those problems are directly as a result because you're not absorbing any of these nutrients.
Yeah. 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 You know, it's just, there's so many things. I know it can seem really overwhelming at times, but I know for me that I've spent a lot of time studying this stuff, and it's easier for all of you listening and reading my things because it takes a lot of research to get to knowing these things. And then we're giving you this information, so it's easier for you to apply than if we weren't here, you know, having already done this research for you. But I can tell you that over time, it just looks simpler and simpler to me because, like, for example, I just don't take prescription drugs. I don't take over-the-counter drugs. That's it. I mean, I haven't done that in 25 years. And all the things, you just, like, move over to a different way of looking at things and what your options are. And everything that I do is using natural remedies, if I even need to take a remedy, because you can do a lot to improve your health with diet and exercise. And I know that sounds like, you know, everybody says that, but it's really true.
Oh, most definitely. So what I tell people, the diet and exercise makes a big deal difference. And also, you're taking the chemicals out on a daily basis and protecting your kidney and liver function. If you're going to use these things, you need to be cognizant of that. And there are herbs that can damage this as well. You know, not all herbs are safe either. There's things that can damage the kidney and the liver. If there's any question about what you're taking, just give me a call and I'll go over it. I mean, it's a short-time conversation that can maybe make a big difference as far as your long-term health. These things are preventable to some degree. Now, there are some, you know, viruses and things can attack the kidney and the liver or the heart. I mean, things happen. I understand that. But a lot of times these things could have been avoided if someone had the knowledge beforehand to try and do something about it.
Right. And we really need to be looking at, it's like one of the things that I've observed is that when you don't know about toxics, then people are doing things like taking vitamins, maybe eating natural food, but not organic food. Maybe they're not eating out of cans anymore, but they're eating, you know, fresh lettuce from the grocery store, for example. And they're going and getting their checkups and they're going to exercise class and all these things, which in kind of a mainstream way are the positive things that people are told to do for their health, taking vitamins, et cetera. But on the other hand, you've got this big onslaught of toxic stuff that is working against your health in consumer products and drugs, just all over the place. And what I found in my own life and people that I work with is that if you just start by removing the toxics, remove the toxic drugs, remove the toxic chemicals, and then do the things to support your body, because you're just kind of, it's like if you're trying to empty the bathtub and you keep dumping water into it, you're not going to empty the bathtub.
Well, that's exactly right. And the thing I was talking about, the cumulative toxicity, is very real and very present and very dangerous. I don't think people can realize enough. They could do all these right. things for their health. They're doing all these, you know, food choices, sleeping right, you know, exercising, whatever it may be, drinking filtered water. And then when it comes down to it, they're taking maybe even supplements that can cause damage to either the kidney or the liver.
Pamela, I have to interrupt you because the music's going to start in just a second. So thank you so much. Again,
absolutely. Thank you.
You're welcome. You can go to botanicalresource.com. You can call up Pamela and she will help you figure out how to stop taking different drugs. This is Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd. Be well.